States are here. Thank you for flying in from all around. Everybody stand up on your feet because I am so honored to be able to have one of the greatest privileges. As we have so many people here, thank you, Apostle Maldonado. Thank you to everyone. It is such a privilege for me, probably one of the greatest honors, that 18, almost 19 years ago, I received a phone call out of the blue. At that time, it was then businessman Mr. Trump, who called me after watching Christian television. I was
Joy from Tennessee.
Gather people around me that pray since 2011 on this. Many people of faith around him, and to see him become the 45th president of the United States. What's happening is unprecedented. God is at work, that is for sure. And as we see his policy, which is unprecedented, and the personnel, you'll see people of faith, both on the outside and on the inside, surrounded by him. And often he himself has said this. He says, I have never pretended to be something that I'm not, but let me tell you who he is. He's a great father. He's a fearless leader. He's a man of courage. He's a loving husband to First Lady. He is loyal to the chief. He fights for the underdog. He is a patriot. If you cut him, he's going to bleed red, white, and blue. He's a man who does what he says. Promises made, promises kept. He is competitive, is a very giving person. He is compassionate, unless you start the fight with him and he'll finish it. He is a winner. He is a man that loves God, faith, family, people, and most of all, he stands strong for America. He is a champion for faith. Welcome the 45th President of the United States, President Donald J. Trump.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Prayers for 45. We are listening to Paula White, who is one of the amazing prayer warriors that we are a part of. She is committed with her team to lift up and pray for our president on a daily basis. And I just thought it would be fun to listen to something that she just did with President Trump just in the last week. So we will start in a couple of minutes.
One of the greatest men. And before we start out, we'd like to pray over him. And we know we are people of prayer, so will you stretch your hands and pass and President Trump, these are some of your greatest faith leaders that would love to pray over you. Pastor Jensen's going to start, Apostle Maldonado, and we love you. Will everybody just stretch your hands towards the president before he gets up, because we know that prayer makes a difference.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this nation that was born in 1776. We pray in 2020 it would be born again. We pray for your spirit to move across our nation, and we humble ourselves and we pray. We repent of personal sins, national sins, and we humbly ask you to bless our nation and to bless our President Donald Trump. Lord, I thank you that America didn't need a preacher in the Oval Office. It did not need a professional politician in the Oval Office, but it needed a fighter and a champion for freedom. And Lord, that's exactly what we have. I thank you, Lord, that he doesn't claim to be perfect, but he is passionate. He's passionate to stop the merciless killing of the unborn. He's passionate to raise people from poverty, and 6 million have been moved from food stamps to the dignity of work. He is passionate, oh God, to see our Supreme Court filled with men and women who will stand for justice for all. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have begun. And now that you have begun it in our nation, in the middle, we pray. pray that you would bless. Beginnings are wonderful. Endings are wonderful. But in the middle, we need your help. In the middle of the race, the runner needs his second wind. In the middle, oh God, of a battle, the reinforcements need to come in. So send your power and your presence to touch this president. Show him who you are. Show him your love. Show him the love of the people. And Lord, do something so great in him and in this nation that the pundits on TV and the news anchors will be amazed at how great America is, because God is great in America again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh my goodness. I just love hearing people pray for our president. Welcome everyone to Prayers for 45. We are here this evening, and Scotty has passed me the torch to hold it high and lift up our president, and I am excited to be here and hosting the call tonight. We have someone very special on who's going to open our prayer with us. Her name is Lori Miller. She is a fabulous prayer warrior, a dear friend, and someone whose heart is towards the Lord and hears from God and loves to intercede just like I do and the rest of us do. So, Lori, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hi, Kimberly.
Yes. Go ahead, Lori. We're glad to have you. Go ahead and open.
Well, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be a part of this phone call every week. My husband and I look forward to this time every Thursday and Sunday. And in fact, when we miss it, we feel it. So Prayers for 45 is very powerful in our own lives. So we are grateful for everyone who's on this call. So when you called me and asked me to do this, I just started asking the Lord, okay, what would you like to have shared tonight? And I was just drawn to pick up Oswald Chambers. It's from Jesus Calling. I thought I picked up my Oswald Chambers. And anyway, I just think the word from this devotional just really spoke to my heart, and what God is really asking from his people this year and from our president. So I'm just going to take a moment and read this. It says, I want you to learn a new habit. Try saying, I trust you, Jesus, in response to whatever happens to you. If there is a time, think about who I am in all my power and glory. Ponder also the depth and breadth of my love for you. This simple practice will help you see me in every situation, acknowledging my sovereign control over the universe. When you view events from this perspective, through the light of my universal presence, fear loses its grip on you. And I have just thought about President Trump and how he has been fearless in his leadership of this country. This man is attacked daily, multiple times, and I stand amazed at how he is able to stand and how the Lord gives him the strength and courage to be a light for what God is trying to accomplish in our country. This goes on to say, adverse circumstances become growth opportunities when you affirm your trust in me, no matter what. You receive blessings gratefully, realizing they flow directly from my hand of grace. Your continual assertion of trusting me will strengthen our relationship and keep you close to me. And I just believe that our president knows who he's following, and it's our God. And because he knows that, he can stand firm and stand strong every day. And I think he would even say he knows people are praying for him, and he feels that power. So what we do on a daily basis in praying for our president is vital to his success. So I then went to the scriptures, and I love Isaiah 43. And really, it's talking about Isaiah comforting, you know, God's people. And he says, don't be afraid. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The Lord goes on to really say through Isaiah, look, for your sake, I will send an invading army against Babylon, and the Babylonians will be forced to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. And in my margin of my Bible, I have in big letters, God is big. He is big, and he is doing something big in our country, and he is really empowering our president to do this big work. And then I just want to read a little bit more, because I think, you know, God is reminding what he has done, but then he's also saying, hey, I'm not done. I'm not finished here, because he says, forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home. I will create rivers for them in the desert. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the ostriches, too, for giving them water in the wilderness. Yes, I will make springs in the desert, so that my chosen people can be refreshed. And I just, Lord, I come before you, and in just all humility and love for you, God, I just lift up President Trump. And just, Lord, I know that you have appointed him for this time in our country, that this country may be restored and may be restored to you, Father, that the hearts of men and women will turn back to you, Lord, that they will seek you and know you in their lives. Lord, I just pray for President Trump, for his protection daily, Father. I pray that you would put a fortress around him, that you would lead him. I pray for his family, dear God, that they would also be protected, Father, and that your will be accomplished through the plans that you have through President Trump. Lord, we are the benefactors of all this, Father, and none of it we deserve. But, Lord, what we desire most is that our country would return to you. Lord, we are in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and women and children. And Father God, I just pray that through what you are doing, that people will come back to you, Father, and that they will really seek to have a relationship with the God that has created them. And Lord, I just thank you that you have placed President Trump in this role at this time, because, Lord, I don't want to see this country go down the path that it's been going down. Lord, we want to come back to you, and you want to have us come back. And so, Lord, I just come before you, and I just pray in the gracious name of Jesus that you would restore the hearts of men and women and children, and that they would come back to you, Father. And Lord, I'm reminded of another scripture in Isaiah where you say, you will feed your flock like a shepherd. You will carry the lambs in your arms, holding them close to your heart. You will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. And we just pray that for our country, Father. We pray that you would continue to give President Trump wisdom and courage and strength to be the man of God that he needs to be to lead our country. And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lori.
That's well, you're awesome. Welcome.
Thank you so much. That is just such a precious reminder that no matter what happens, God's got this. I love that.
Yes.
Especially considering the week that we've had as a nation, as a globe. It's a pretty awesome reminder.
Yes. Well, and honestly, I mean, just on a personal level, I've had quite a week myself, and I've been reminded over and over again that God is in control and he has my back, and I have to trust him.
Amen. Lori, thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight live.
You're welcome.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for doing our open. We appreciate your heart before the Lord. Pastor Joseph, are you there?
I sure am. Good evening.
Good evening. We're so glad to have you on the call tonight. Thank you for joining us again.
Always a blessing and a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I have a question. I'm really curious. What has the Lord kind of whispered in your spirit about all this stuff that's gone on with Iran this week? What are you getting from the Lord on this?
Straight word would be keep your eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of your faith, because what he started is going to finish, regardless of how circumstances would appear. The attempt by deep state to divert us once again with another planned event of war or attempt to go to a plan of war, but keeping ourselves fixed, and that's what we're doing in prayer tonight. That would be the heart of what I'm getting.
Amen. Amen.
How about you?
Well, I am absolutely convinced that this is so much bigger than Trump versus Iran or anything that might be starting a war or continuing a war or sending more or bringing back troops to, fro, all of those things. I think this is so much bigger. I think there's a spiritual battle field that we are really looking at. I think that there is actually even a demonic stronghold that has been eliminated in Iran and Iraq. I have been praying for peace in the Middle East, not just in Israel, Jerusalem, but I've been praying for peace across the Middle East, and I believe that even as the Bible talks about strongholds being bound on earth as it is in heaven, that we can see with unveiled eyes that something in the spiritual shifted this week. And so I was really feeling like maybe there was something more to that you might have, heard from the Lord.
As we prepared for tonight, we're coming to it. God brought Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah to me, and I was preaching this morning at service regarding Daniel. And Daniel was a man who sat underneath five different kings in an oppressive position from the world's perspective, but able to give counsel, as it were, from the Lord's perspective. And I agree with you completely. If we look past our modern-day history of Iran and Iraq and go to its roots, we're looking at millennia-old wrestlings. And the word that Gabriel brought to Daniel is, from the very first day you began to pray, Daniel, your prayers were heard in heaven. And it's taken these 21 days for your prince, Michael, to defeat the prince of Persia. And I think you're spot on. This war is not with flesh and blood, but it's with principality and power. And that victory has already been wrought. When Jesus spoke on the cross, it's finished, he wasn't just addressing the matter of his dying and the redemptive work for the salvation of man. He was addressing the age-old wrestling over the war for man and the enemy's intent to destroy us. So I think you're right on. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says he's taken the handwriting of requirements that was against us, contrary to us. He's nailed them to the cross. He's wiped them out. Having disarmed the principality and powers, he's triumphed over them in all of it, having made a public spectacle out of them. Mm-hmm. And it's our part, as we're coming together tonight, to stand in that spiritual gap, as Christ did for us on the cross for redemption. He's called us now to stand in the gap. And he prophetically said that the word to Messiah was, ask of me and I'll give the nations as an inheritance to you. And Christ has extended that to us. And he's calling us to stand together, because the only means for a true victory to be wrought in the earth is if the body of Christ comes together with clarity and understanding and wisdom and prays in accordance to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So I completely agree with you. Although we see the same narrative happen again and again over the century and millennia, as the enemy would try to distract through deep state, whoever he's controlling in those places of authority, trying to suck us into fear and anxiety and these types of things.
Right. Amen. I'm excited. I am actually excited about the continuance of just a return to the rule of law. I mean, this was really a big piece of that puzzle that we saw this week. I love that. It excites me. I feel like, you know, 10 points for the kingdom. and the pit of hell is groaning, you know. I continue to, you know, think of the you know, there's a historic region of Christians that have been persecuted in Iran and Iraq, all through the Middle East. You know, original Christians that were originally part of the first fruits of Paul's missionary travels, his three different trips that we read about in the book of Acts and Romans and Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. In fact, the epistles were written to different groups of those that converted to, they actually converted to Judaism until the Lord freed them of that, and then they were able to receive Messiah, which is so awesome. And a lot of those are generationally still in these regions that have just been wrought with war. And so it's exciting to see hope be born, hope be almost like they can grab onto it and sink their teeth into it in a way. And I'm really excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Nineveh, just talking about that. Nineveh, the city and people that Jonah had gone to, the Ninevites,
right?
Even against his own will, is in Iraq.
I know.
And they have been Christian for the last 3,000 years. And because of these wrestlings, were just displaced for a moment, and haven't been for that time period, but have what I understand they've come back into not a safe situation, but have returned and so no, you're again right on with the unfolding of that impact. And yet it's such a time. We're You know, the Word of God in Hebrews says that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Mm-hmm. And any one of those that have gone on before us, they're looking at this time with such an eager expectation for what God's about to do. And we get to be in the midst of it. And if we'll humble ourselves and pray, if we'll stand in proxy the same way Messiah did for this nation, we get to see a turnaround, because he's not looking at what a single individual does, but he's looking at what his body will do, because he's committed himself to responding to their prayer when they'll stand in proxy, stand in the gap as Christ did.
Amen. Hey, Joseph, when you pray tonight, would you also say a special prayer for those who need healing? I just feel
sure.
Like that's something else that Jesus did that we're actually talking about, interceding in the name of Jesus and standing in the gap and interceding for oh my gosh, the Middle East and our president. And I want to make sure that we include those who need a special touch from the Lord for healing also.
Absolutely. Well, right. I'll tell you a quick testimony, just to encourage our faith. I had a gentleman that I met in one of my business travelings to meet with and take care of some things. And on the way back, would have expected to fly first class in that process, and got on the plane, and God said, "You're not going to fly first. Volunteer to take a coach seat." And that didn't bode well with me, because the trip had already been hard. But I yielded and ended up sitting next to a man who happened to be Native American, and we didn't hit off very well. It was irritating on both sides, because I was irritated having to move, and he was irritating me taking a seat next to him. But that man had five forms of cancer. Three of them were staged out, and the other two were stage four or better. He was exposed in military service over 38 years of service, from 17 and a half to he was finished in a helicopter, being shot out of the air at 60 feet in a helicopter. And the chemical exposure had it just eating his body up. And we met, wrestled through the irritation at the beginning, and have become good friends. And he was radically healed of all of the cancer. So much so that his oncologist called him in tears. He thought she was calling to give him the final notice, but her tears were, they'd gone in and done blood work the week before we had got together and prayed. And when they had come back to it, she called him in, and the markers that should have been there present to show weren't there. And God had actually wiped not just the cancer out, but the markers. And since then, in follow-up, he does large hauling. He broke his arm in the trip, came in on a Sunday after a Friday break, and on Tuesday going in to get a permanent cast on, the doctor couldn't find the break. So God is absolutely still in the business of healing. And primarily, Jesus met their physical needs before he went on to take care of their spiritual. So why don't we address healing first, and then we'll address the reset of the rule of law. So, Father, we do, as we come tonight, Lord, we're grateful that you take time out of what you're doing to meet us. We're grateful that you would step aside in this quiet place, in this holy of holies, as we would come before your throne, and you'd actually allow us to come boldly. And Lord, we lift up those that are on the call tonight. We lift up family members, associates, any that are connected to this network of those praying, believing, and calling upon your name to see your hand move for this nation and the nations on the earth. Lord, we lift each up, every association where sickness, where disease, where injury, where there's been impairment, where there's ongoing issues with immune disorders, where eyesight issues and even cancers of the eye, Father God, are causing for the threat of loss of life, loss of limb. Lord, we agree with your word tonight that says it's by the stripes that Jesus bore that we're healed, that he was scourged and beaten for our iniquities. He was chastised for our sin, Lord God. And then the burden, the grief of our sin was upon him. He became sin on our behalf, that we might become in Messiah the righteousness of God in Christ. Mm. And so tonight I agree with you that Holy Spirit, you go forth with power, angels be commissioned, to carry healing to those that need your touch, your intervention tonight. I arrest unbelief. I arrest fear. I arrest anxiety. I arrest depression. I arrest the spirit of suicide. I scatter any spirit that would have been working against any on this call or, again, connected to them.
Yes.
Where they need your intervention and touch. And I agree with you tonight that power would be released. I release and agree with you to eradicate cancer, to eradicate fibromyalgia, to eradicate, Lord God, diabetes and physical injury and result from the diabetes, Lord God, where there's been loss of sight or hindrance of sight, where there have been loss of body parts. I agree with you for the re-knitting together, release new parts and pieces inside the body and outside where they're needed tonight, Father God. Lord, where there are diseases of the soul, where people have lost hope, where they've been brought into captivity to addiction and compulsive obsessive behaviors, Father, where depression and suicide are a regular taunt and wrestling, I agree, Lord God, that freedom would come tonight and that those captivities are broken and those spirits cast off. And so we thank you, Father God, that there would be testimony that would come of your moving with power because you love us. You love us. For you so love the world that you gave your only Son. And Lord, we turn to you tonight. We come through your Son to receive that move. Lord, in kind, we also want to attend to the matters at hand. We agree with you tonight for your kingdom to come on the earth as it is in heaven, for your will to be done in the United States according to the plan that you wrote out for the nation, even as you've written out every one of our days, Psalm 139, 16 through 19, or 13 through 16, Father God. You've written out every one of our days before there was yet one. We agree for this nation and your plan. We agree, Lord God, for the exposure of those who are operating in the deep state, for the overthrow of the rule of law. We agree with you for the light of your presence, the anointing of your presence, your glory, to expose every deep state operation and strategy, from the issues and diversion attempt with Iran to the things that are going on right now, trying to distract the Darius, the Cyrus that you've set in office. That, Father, you would bring about the exposure and you'd bring about the process to cut off and ruin the strategies and attempts, as you would remove the players as well as you usher in a reset of the rule of law. Lord, we're dependent and determined as we come in agreement tonight to see your hand move to restore this nation to the identity, the function, and the role that it's supposed to play, not in corruption, not in the destruction of other nations, not in using our authority to manipulate economies and to destabilize, but, Lord, for you to be able to move with power in the midst of us, here in our borders, that you might actually pour out your presence and impart your plan through us across the borders, that it would be found in us that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of our nation, the one who sent his Son as payment, as the scapegoat, as the lamb to be brought to slaughter, that the world might be saved, that we would be a nation that would not only call upon your name, but a nation who walks in your name and ushers in your plans. Lord, would you reset the rule of law? Would you allow for the foundation that we stand on to be Messiah? Would you allow for the Constitution and the other agreements and covenants that we've received from you to be set in their appropriate place, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you've established our identity in, Father God, so that you'd be glorified in what we do and how we behave and how we are not only operating inside, but how we're perceived outside, that you'd restore our law, you'd restore our reputation, you'd restore our hearts, and Father, as you'd heal our land, that you'd also then use as an agent of healing and restoration, that we might know what gifting and what calling were supposed to happen between the nations, not just what benefit we were supposed to receive, but what we could bring to the restoration of people groups, to the release of those who are oppressed, as Kimberly talked about tonight, those Israeli and Jewish rooted people groups that are stuck in the midst of these hostile territories, Lord. In our past, we've played a part of their deliverance, their being aliyahed back to Israel. Lord, not just for them, we pray that we could play a part as well for those believers who are also in the midst of these other Arabic and Middle Eastern countries, that there would come a saving grace that we would be able to participate in to usher in your kingdom as it relates to each people group, and a restoration of their callings and giftings. And Father, that we play a part in the restoration of their economies as they would be turned to Messiah too. We commit our way to your care tonight, knowing that we're able to entrust into your care what we're hoping for. You're able to keep it faithful and see those things brought to pass that you've intended for us as we would humble ourselves before you. So we do. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness, the things that we personally participate in. Forgive our land, Lord God. We stand in proxy for the people in the U.S. Have mercy on us. Whatever nations might be on this call tonight, we're able to stand for each of our people groups, Lord. Have mercy on us. From abortion to genocide, from manipulation of nations and law to whatever sins we may know about and those things that have been done in secret, we stand in proxy as Christ did for mankind. We come before you on behalf of the nations. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, for we don't know, Lord God, in many cases what we're doing. And for those that know what they're doing, Father God, commissively or omissively, have mercy on us. We thank you for it, and we ask it in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Wow, Pastor Joseph, thank you so much for praying tonight. Thank you for praying for the sick and praying for the restoration of the rule of law in our nation, our globe. Thank you so much.
My honor, my privilege. Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to share before I wrap up our call?
Just a word of encouragement for us on the call. Two things. One, regardless of how difficult or impossible circumstances seem, you're history changers. If you would have the boldness to go before the throne and pray the way you are, you're changing history, and you have a part. You're sowing seed to God's plan taking place on earth. Don't ever take it lightly. Be encouraged that the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man or woman, the Lord says, avails much.
Amen.
And secondly, I want to encourage you as much. You know, if each of us just invited one person to the call, that would double our numbers. And we know that we're having effect. Even as Lori had shared, when she's not on, she feels it. Well, there's no reason that we wouldn't multiply this and have even greater impact, because the scripture is clear to say where one prays, 1,000 flee, where two prays, 10,000. And that's a model to represent that as we would come together in number, there's an exponential kingdom dynamic that takes place. Well, the larger our number, the greater that impact. So I just want to encourage everybody as we're able. But thank you again for this privilege and for doing such a great job leading us tonight. Appreciate you stepping out. Taking that risk and being willing to help us that way.
Scotty, thank you. I mean, Joseph, thank you. with that, Scotty definitely sends his regards. He is flying this evening and unable to host the call. And as always, I'm willing to come alongside and be of service any way I can. For all of our callers that are on tonight, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate. Thank you for the first couple of people who were already called in before I got called in. Thank you for your patience. And if you prayed for me to figure it out, I'm so grateful, because the Lord is so faithful to answer our prayers and help us to, despite ourselves, right, have a powerful call. So I just want to close with our prayer of gratitude. Lord, we are so grateful. We're so thankful. We come into your presence. We are just humbled to enter in. And we come with our hearts full of gratitude. We are thankful for the privilege and the freedom to pray. We are grateful that we can even come into your presence washed free of our sin. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are the one who washes us, and you are the one who purifies and cleanses us, and you set our feet on high places, and you pick us up, Lord, when we get knocked down, Lord. And we're so grateful that you continuously are there supporting us in your word. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that we can stand on the 66 books of the Bible, Lord, and glean from that scriptural tools that help us be effective in every aspect of our lives, Lord, and And I'm so grateful that your word teaches us how to pray and how to enter in and be effective, Lord. Your word to us is our sword. And we're so grateful that it is so sharp, that it is sharp enough to separate bone from marrow, Lord. And we're grateful that it is an effective tool for pulling down principalities and powers in this present darkness. We're grateful, Lord, that you have equipped us as warriors for the kingdom of God to enter in with our words spoken that have the power to bring life and the power to spread healing and the power to make a difference on our planet, Father. I pray that you would continue to bring to memory things in each of us, Lord, that we are grateful for. Our families, Lord, the roof over our heads, Father, the fact that our utilities are paid, Lord, we're so grateful for these things that are so comfortable for us, Lord. We're mindful of those in other countries that are maybe even not as developed as the United States, Lord, that don't have these freedoms of running water, clean water to drink, and power that just goes on and off with a switch. Lord, we're so thankful for these amenities that you have granted so many of us, Lord, that we're tempted to take for granted. Lord, we're thankful for life. We're thankful for our health, Lord. We're thankful for those things that you remind us of how much you love us, Lord, our animals and creation all around us, Lord. We're so grateful that we can come together, Lord. We're thankful for each prayer warrior on this call tonight. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just fill us up, Lord. Fill us with your love, Lord. Let us go out and love freely those who may be unlovable in some aspects. Lord, I pray that you would also help us to just abound with joy. Lord, even when things seem not very good, Lord, that you give us the ability to find our joy in you because we're rooted in you. Father, we're thankful. We're thankful so much just that we can come together in your name tonight. And we ask that you would bless this call, bless each prayer warrior on this call, bless Scotty, Lord, continue to keep him safe too as he travels. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in our nation and in our globe. And we just, again, commit this call to you. May you be glorified in this call. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. Bye-bye. Thank you.